Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
I don't know if you feel the same way, Bick, but this show has flown by today. Do you feel that way? Or am I just being cruel by bringing
it up? Maybe. Okay. Maybe.
It's already 1 o'clock. No. It's already time for Social Studies.
Woo.
It's already time for
this
Sarah
radio
Cazell.
Show soars on the wings of eagles, my man.
Did you ever know that?
Oh. No, please don't stop. Keep going.
That's not what everybody else said.
Vince Midler.
Oh, beautiful. Well, the relativity of time is something we will tackle later on in Social Studies. But first, let's start with the Phoenix Suns, something you guys have talked about this week and in weeks past after pretty bad losses like the Spurs loss over the weekend. The Suns, you've called them a very good team, but not yet a great team.
That is correct.
So we are starting off by asking, of the following four options, we've got four great trios in Phoenix Suns history, at least in this poll we do. So which of those trios is the best? Is it the current trio of Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and DeAndre Ayton? Is it Steve Nash, Amari Stoudemire, and Sean Marion from the 7 Seconds or Less era? Charles Barkley, Kevin Johnson, and Dan Majerle from those great 90s teams? Or Walter Davis, Alvin Adams, and Paul Westphal? Best trio in Suns history.
I have a pretty strong feeling on this one. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably going to be in agreement. I would go with choice B, Nash, Amari, Marion.
Okay.
Slightly over Davis, Adams, and Westphal, but
wow.
I would go Nash, Amari, Marion.
I think, I don't know what I would do there. I'm surprised that you're kind of Barkley, KJ, Marley. You got them third?
Right. Barkley was a force, and Marley was at the height of his powers
but
at that
KJ
point.
But KJ wasn't that good?
KJ was, in my estimation, wasn't the same. Like,
okay.
I think he was better in a Suns uniform pre-Barkley.
Okay.
That's just my thought.
All right, so Nash, Amari, Marion, then, I think is the right call.
Now, KJ was still really good, but... Mm-hmm.
So then does that put this current trio fourth out of four for you?
Not necessarily.
Vince? Okay.
I might give them the nod over Barkley, KJ, Martin.
Yeah, okay. And this current trio, it's just too early to anoint them as anything.
Burgeoning.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
Right.
I hear you. Okay. Well, 48% of our voters agree with you guys. Nash, Amare, Marion getting the nod. 48.4% of the vote say they are the best trio in Suns history. Right behind them, that 90s trio, 43%, Charles Barkley, KJ, and Dan Majerle. And then it's single digits for the other two. 6% went with the current trio, CP3, Devin Booker, and DA. And then 3%, which is probably some age bias here. A lot of us didn't get to see Walter Davis, Alvin Adams, and Paul Westphal play. They got 3% of the vote.
True.
Yeah. Myself included. Okay, moving on to the NFL. We are now 8 days away. 8 days away from the first round of the NFL draft next Thursday. Earlier in the show, you were looking at the 49ers number 3 pick, presumably looking for a replacement for Jimmy G, but also, as far as we can tell, not necessarily locked in on who they will take just yet. So of these three quarterbacks, who do you think is most likely to be a bust in the NFL? Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Mac Jones? Most likely to be a bust.
Most likely to bust. I'm not saying he's going to be, but if I had to pick one of them, I'd pick the guy with the shortest resume against the worst competition. So I got to pick Trey Lance.
That's the right answer. At least my mind.
Yeah, that's fair. I thought he would get more of the vote, but Mac Jones, 43% of the vote.
Wow.
People don't believe in those Alabama quarterbacks. Quite a few people responded, you know, if I had the same receivers that he had, I could be great too. So, Mac Jones, 43% of the vote.
I bet they couldn't.
Then no, you couldn't. Guy on your couch.
Move it! 43% of the vote said Mac Jones, most likely to be a bust. And not necessarily they think he will be, but of those three, that's their selection. 31% went with Trey Lance, and then 26% said Justin Fields. So most people have the most confidence in Justin Fields.
Interesting spreading out of the votes, though.
Yeah.
I will say.
Mm-hmm. No doubt. And moving on to our final question.
Mm-hmm.
Dan, at the top of the show, you were saying, I think this is something a lot of us have dealt with. When you're tossing and turning late at night and you're trying to fall asleep, time passes so quickly when you just want to get
to
sleep.
Crazy.
I hate it so much.
Yeah, you and me both.
Yeah, I think that's probably something a lot of us experienced over the past year, with a lot of anxiety during the pandemic, hard to sleep. Before you know it, it's 3:30 and you're like, great, can't wait to wake up in 3 hours.
Yeah.
So we are asking, open-ended question, in what scenario in life does time move the fastest, and when does time move the slowest?
I'm gonna tackle the last one and then cede to Vinny. I thought Tim Ring put up a great one. When your team has a one-goal lead in Game 7 of a playoff hockey game.
Oh, that's a good one.
It takes forever to get seconds off the clock. But I think you topped it, Sarah. I think you topped it. When you are on a treadmill, that is when time goes the slowest.
God help me.
I completely agree with that.
When you're a
treadmills are the worst.
I disagree. It's a great place to put your laundry.
True.
I will say when you're a patient in a hospital, time moves the slowest.
Oh, that's a good one.
Okay, that's a good one.
It feels like it's not even moving.
You know, it's a good one. When the time moves the slowest, when you're late for something and you're at a red light.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, that's a great one.
Yes.
Yeah, that is a good one. Time moves the fastest. I got to go with the sleep thing.
Okay.
Just say you get 7 hours of sleep one night.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of 7 hours, if you think about it, like the next 7 hours, that could be daunting. Like, I have to do such and such for 7 hours.
Yeah.
It can be daunting. And sleep, you don't even get to enjoy it.
Isn't that funny?
That's true.
Even if I said, like, you have to do something for 30 minutes straight right now, you'd be, like, counting down the seconds in your head as it goes.
Absolutely not.
With 7 hours.
Yes.
Yeah.
Matthew tweeted us, when you're on a cross-country or an international flight in economy.
I was going to read that
that's
one
a good
first.
Call.
That is a really
that's good
one.
That's a
good
call.
Any kind of flight.
Yeah.
I'm so uncomfortable flying. That's a great choice, too.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't know anything other than economy at this point in my life, but yes, I completely agree
only
with
heard
that
tales of
yes.
the Herman
how
Buckleys
the other side
of the world.
Lives. Yeah, exactly. The Herman Buckleys. Let's see. JJ says, time moves pretty quickly during happy hour. I almost got through an entire book waiting on an oil change once.
Oh,
so for
goodness.
Slowest, I'll go car maintenance. That's a pretty good call.
That's a good one.
Let's see. Kiernan Ryan Daly says, time moves slowest when pulled over by an officer, waiting to hear if you're going to get a ticket or not. I completely hear that. And time moves fastest when you're on vacation. Yup.
That's true, too.
Yup. Let's see. Oh, this one spoke to me. Matthew Warwick says, time moves slowest doing a 1 minute plank. Like when you're working out, that takes 4 hours, which it does. 60 seconds, longest 60 seconds of your life.
That's the winner right there.
Yeah. And the entire weekend takes 3 blinks of an eye.
Yeah.
Another great one from Randy. Summers as a kid, fastest, 10 years old on Christmas Eve, slowest. I like that one.
Oh, yes.
Too. I had forgot, I don't do a lot of the planks, but when I was doing physical therapy and had to do a 1 minute plank,
Yes, looking at the clock and it's like 47 seconds left,
You think about it conceptually and you're like, how hard could it be? It's 1 minute.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. The worst. Or like wall sits, those are pretty rough too.
Planks are the worst.
Something I'll never do.
Because they are
the worst. How about this one?
Yep.
Speaking of the worst, Tom Grendel says, time moves the slowest listening to Jarrett's song parodies.
Wait a minute here.
And time moves the fastest listening to Jarrett's sports kebab.
Oh.
A little sour, a little sweet.
Okay. Yeah, right.
Jarrett, you are both good and terrible.
Yes.
Say that again.
Yeah, good and
we
terrible. Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks, guys.
Social studies every day at 1. Bickley_Murata on Twitter to get involved in the fun. D-backs, their start time got pushed up due to Mother Nature, so we got D-backs on deck next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the D-backs as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, brought to you by Sonic. This is How We Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the Bacon Jam Cheeseburger for a limited time only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com.
Yeah, my mind is pumping right now. And I've been talking to a couple of the coaches about how we're going to set things up. And, you know, you got to strategize for the final two innings. And we have a lot of moves that are still going to potentially take place in the top of the eighth or in the bottom of the eighth inning. We want to, you know, figure out where the score lands at the conclusion of the inning, you know, potentially put out our best defensive team without the potential of, you know, without losing the ability to score runs in the top of the ninth inning. So there's definitely some strategy. I'm excited about it. I'm excited about the conversation I'm having, but we'll get it played out just right. And we're going to make sure we go out and do all we can to win tomorrow's first game.
It's Torrey Lovello, manager of the Arizona Diamondbacks, yesterday when the game was suspended. It didn't end suspended with one out in the top of the eighth inning. Diamondbacks leading 5-4 with the bases loaded in just nasty conditions. The question is, and Torrey started by saying his mind's pumping, knowing we got to finish a game before we play the next one. Mm-hmm. Question is either one of them going to happen today? As I'm looking at the weather forecast in Cincinnati, and it doesn't look very good right now.
Really?
Apparently rain scheduled to start in about 20 minutes in Cincinnati, and checking the hour-by-hour breakdown, it looks like it's going to rain pretty much all night. So this might be a foregone conclusion. But D-backs started out with a 3-0 lead with Zach Gallen on the mound yesterday. Mm-hmm. They squandered that lead and then came back. A couple of left-handers doing some good things against the left-handed reliever and Garrett. And
the Alex Young wild ride, or Andrew Young wild ride, continues.
Yeah. Hit a home run that barely cleared,
yep.
but it cleared.
Mm-hmm.
So it's 5-4 if they pick it up.
Line drive, man. The thing was crazy. Yeah, okay, so I don't know what you thought of Zach Gallen's performance yesterday. It's hard to tell. Those conditions were so nasty, but you also, J.B. Bukauskas is in line for his first victory.
Yes.
If they hold on to this thing, so that's significant.
Here's Zach Gallen's own words on how he felt he threw in his second start of the year.
It was okay. Just really couldn't get in a rhythm. Too many walks, too many two-out walks. But, you know. So my job is to try and keep us in the game. So in that sense, I was happy with that. But for the most part, it was just whatever.
Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. All right.
So Gallen.
Yeah.
Zach Gallen.
That guy.
Love that guy.
Great jungle guy.
The pitching matchup for the regularly scheduled game, should it happen, we'll take a look at that now. The pitching matchup is brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to the Berg Simpson Law Firm. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BURGSimpson.com. Good lawyers, changing lives. Right-hander Tyler Mahle on the mound for Cincinnati against Merrill Kelly. Battle of right-handers. Mahle this year, 26 years old, 1-1, 2.57 ERA in three games started. Pretty good strikeout rate, 22 strikeouts in 14 innings. He did start against the D-backs in that Friday game at Chase Field in the series that they played here back on April 9th. Four innings pitched, no hits, no runs, walked four, struck out six. The Reds' bullpen blew a 5-0 lead in that game, but the Reds still won 6-5 in 10 innings. This is his third career start for the D-backs, and he relies basically on three pitches, a four-seam fastball, a cutter, and a splitter. So won't be the first look at Mahle for a lot of the guys in the lineup today, which could be a plus.
Yeah, could be.
And then for the Diamondbacks, it's Merrill Kelly, who has not been sharp this year.
No.
1-2, 8.44 ERA in three games started. His only 10 strikeouts in 16 innings. In fact, I looked it up. His strikeout rate percentage right now, 13.5, is in the bottom 6% of the league. His 8.44 ERA is the 11th highest in major leagues among pitchers who have started three or more games, so that's not the company you want to be keeping. He's gone six innings in each of his last two starts, but the ERA is 9 over those 12 innings, so something's got to change.
Yeah, the way I look at this, if the Diamondbacks really want to kind of reverse the narrative, if you will, and maybe kind of infuse a little bit of optimism about a .500 team that can float around the playoff periphery, man, today, if they play these games, offers an amazing opportunity because you can get a quick victory. And then if you can get a good outing from Merrill Kelly, he's the guy in the pitching staff right now, as it sits right now, that has yet to do something good. And if he has a good outing, I think it really could go a long way into building up a, you know what, we're not the Dodgers, we're not the Padres, but we might win as many games as we lose. And if you get that kind of momentum going, you might convince yourself you're a playoff team. So if they play today, I think this is a pretty significant afternoon for the Diamondbacks.
Yep, that's, again, your pitching matchup brought to you by Berg Simpson Law Firm. A look today at the keys to the game.
I am the key master.
D-backs keys to the game. Brought to you by San Chevrolet. Sands makes it easy. Shop how and where you want. Online in the new Sand showroom. Find new roads at sandchevrolet.com.
And my key to the game, Vic, it all started here. You kind of hit on it. Get something positive from Merrill Kelly.
Yeah.
In terms of him bouncing back from the injury, we saw what he was capable of before the injury last year. He was really, really good. And we've seen that throughout his time with the Diamondbacks. I think for his own, you know, comeback, if you will, from that injury, he needs something positive to happen.
Yeah,
a good so outing true. To get the ball rolling in the right direction.
That is so true, because if he doesn't have it when everybody else around him is kind of coming to form a little bit, that's only going to increase the pressure and anxiety. My key to the game is Eduardo Escobar's bat when they start this thing. He's up with the bases loaded, and if he can do something there, you can give your team a real nice cushion to get this first victory in your back pocket. That's my key to the game.
Yeah.
Eduardo Escobar, one at bat.
You brought it up earlier in the show. Chance to notch two W's in one day without it being a true doubleheader.
Right.
You want to talk about changing your outlook and boosting your confidence level. That would go
completely
a long way. That's your keys to the game, brought to you by San Chevrolet. Quick look at the MLB standings, brought to you by PNC Bank, financial tools and tech to help make things easier. And we look at the standings, and we'll start in the Diamondbacks' own playground, the National League West, where entering today at 6-10, the Diamondbacks are 7 games behind first place Los Angeles.
Mm-hmm.
Dodgers have been as good as advertised. They are 14-4 through 18 games. They lead Major League Baseball with a plus 38 run differential. I think maybe the hope for a lot of optimistic Diamondbacks fans, maybe the Dodgers will start slow and it'll take them a while to find their footing.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the case. Again, they've had injuries. They've had some key players that have not produced to their capability, and it doesn't matter. They are an absolute juggernaut.
Yeah, and I think that's we're not. I don't think we're going to spend much time looking at the NL West standings this year, at least until we do on deck segments, because that's, to me, the team that's going to win the division is not even in your crosshairs.
So you're saying on April 21st, I should pull up the wild card rankings?
That's what I'm saying.
D-backs only 3.5 out
there
of the second wild
card
spot.
That's much more navigable.
San Francisco at 11-6. They've got off to a good start. They've won 3 straight and 7-3 in their last 10. The Brewers, 10-7, currently occupy that wild card spot. Then it's the Padres, Phillies, Cardinals, Marlins. Obviously, at this point, a big bunching up, but only 3.5 games at that point in the wild card chase, the Arizona Diamondbacks. And that is officially the earliest I've ever looked at any wild card standings in Major League. I didn't even do that last year after this 16 games and a 60-game schedule. There you go. There's your MLB standings. Diamondbacks and Reds finishing up one from yesterday. Fingers crossed they'll be able to get the second one in as well. The BP show starting now over on ESPN 620 AM.
You've been listening to D-backs on Deck. Brought to you by Sonic. This is how we Sonic. Stop by your nearest location today for the Bacon Jam Cheeseburger. For a limited time, only at Sonic. And by Trajan Wealth. Get your retirement on deck with Trajan Wealth, your local trusted financial fiduciary. TrajanWealth.com. Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today is Sanderson Ford Poll Question on the homepage at arizonasports.com. Which game left on the Suns road trip is the most challenging? Is it tonight at Philly, tomorrow at Boston,
Sunday against the Nets or Monday at the Knicks? I think this is a pretty easy answer.
You go ahead and vote then, Vinny. I agree with you that it's an easy answer.
I'm going tonight in Philly. That's the most challenging. They're all challenging, but that's the most challenging. 56% of the respondents agree that tonight's game at Philadelphia will be the most challenging. 28% went with Sunday at the Nets. 11% went with the Celtics tomorrow, back end of a back-to-back. And then 6% said visiting Madison Square Garden Monday against the Knicks is the most challenging. And again, that's a back-to-back, too. That is today's Sanderson Ford poll question, and you can vote on it right now. Find it at the homepage at arizonasports.com. That's the big story today locally is can the Phoenix Suns continue their success on the road? The best road record in the NBA tonight against a team that is very formidable. And as I said earlier in the show, I believe this, and maybe it's just me. I think they have a different edge to them this year with Doc Rivers as the head coach. A seemingly more focused Joel Embiid. I think he's relishing his growing role in the NBA as being kind of a killer, you know, an assassin, if you will. He knows there's a target on him, and we saw it periodically throughout his career. He's been very good since he's been in the league, but a little bit spotty. He's been more consistently dominant this year. I think this is a different Sixers.
Yeah, listen, I agree with that. And I think that tonight's game is going to be interesting because in the evolution of DeAndre Ayton, he's been really, really good. He's been physical. He's done everything that I hoped that he would do to help this basketball team become all that they can be. I hope he can keep it up. Like I told you, I think this period of basketball, all these games, 5 games in 8 days, this is going to be difficult for him because I thought he was starting to break down a little bit emotionally, psychologically. That all the what is being asked of him now is a lot, and now he's being a two-way player for this basketball team, and he's doing it the hard way. And I appreciate that, and I applaud all of it. I hope he can sustain it without kind of breaking down a little bit. So this matchup against Joel Embiid is really going to be, to me, a real snapshot of where DA is right here and now.
Yeah, I think it's a good way to put it. We'll get back into this in a second, but first, I got some money burning in my pocket, and I want to get rid of it.
7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Sports Signing Bonus.
It is time for our Arizona Sports Signing Bonus. Today we are looking for Zachary Venema or Venema, V-E-N-E-M-A. Zachary Venema or Venema, I'm sorry if I'm butchering your name, Zachary, from Phoenix. You've got 10 minutes to call 602-260-9870 to get your $500. On your signing bonus. If you didn't hear your name, you could still win. All you got to do is text bonus to 620-620. Listen for your name every day. One at 735, one at 135, one at 335. But once again, right now, as I start the clock, we are looking for Zachary Venema of Phoenix. You've got 10 minutes to call. 602-260-9870.
I really haven't figured out Phoenix yet. And I guess that's why I was asking Shaq and D-Wade what they thought, because I think you have a guy in Devin Booker that hasn't yet played. I mean, the bubble was probably the first time he played meaningful basketball,
right?
And this is also the first time that he's had a point guard like Chris Paul. We've all seen the impact that Chris had with the Thunder, so I guess just in terms of hanging your hat on Aiden, is he going to show up in the playoffs? Mm-hmm. Are they going to be able, you know? So I really don't know. And so I think that the West is open.
Yeah.
Great. The West is, I mean, the West is wide open, and it's going to be exciting to watch when the playoffs start.
Yeah. That's Candace Parker from Inside the NBA on TNT during last night's broadcast. Some interesting stuff there. We kind of broached this earlier in the show. I think there's a lot of people that feel that way. Yes, mm-hmm. Phoenix is good. Don't know what to expect. And then we've also kind of been juggling this idea of,
you know, everybody else is resting players at this point. Should the Suns go down that road, especially when you have a key player who makes the whole engine go in Chris Paul and he's 35 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we know Chris Paul's stance on it has always been, if I'm healthy, I'm going to play.
Right.
I think I've kind of, you know, rationalized this in my head a little bit now to concretely say, no, don't rest players. So Candace Parker says it there. Shaq kind of chimed in and said, I can't trust them until I see what they are in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So if that's really the case, treat all these games as playoff intensity. It's hard to do. I get it. But especially when you're playing against teams that are almost whole from a roster standpoint, you got to take those and build that confidence as much as you can, because there is no getting around it. The playoffs are an unknown.
Yeah,
for this particular team as it's currently built. So
yeah,
try to replicate it the best you can in the regular season and do it with a full team.
Yeah, the thing that worries me, and I've said this before, and I'll do the obligatory knocking on wood, I believe the Suns' biggest weakness, if it's not the backup five, it's the backup point guard. Now, that's campaign has been terrific. So I'm not
trying. He was fantastic the other night.
Yes, so I'm not trying to dog him out. But what I'm trying to say is that if Chris Paul gets nicked up at a bad time, who's going to be your starting point guard? And when you look at it that, you go, okay, that's too big of a job for campaign to be a starting point guard in high leverage basketball games. So the one guy that you want to rest is the one guy who never has in the past. So you really just have to make a decision and live with the results. I think he'd play it by ear. I think you see what comes of the next X amount of games. But this is also a time for the Suns to shut up all doubters. And I'm not sure what more Shaq needs to see, because this is Chris Paul you're talking about. It's, you know, but I think a lot of it is just, you know, they haven't made the playoffs in 10 years. So a lot of that skepticism's warranted.
Yeah, and I know that during the deadline, you know, the Suns, there were some point guards that became available. There's point guards that become available every year that move around and could have filled that backup role. And you know, James Jones had an opportunity to kick the tires on one of those guys. They have been very steadfast in their support this year of Cameron Payne as the backup point guard. And I think they truly believe that. Otherwise, I think they would have got somebody.
You talk about the Phoenix Suns catching breaks. Brad Stevens said Jaylen Brown is doubtful for tomorrow's game. That's a game against the Suns. Robert Williams isn't going to play. Evan Fournier is unlikely to play. Kemba Walker may be unavailable with non-COVID illness.
Goodness gracious.
Isn't that unbelievable?
That's the game of all the games on this road trip, probably, that they could benefit most by getting a break like that.
Yeah,
You could still beat that team by resting Chris Paul. I think it's a statement I don't think Chris Paul wants to make. And then you factor in that this is really going to happen. He may not win the MVP award, but I do think there's going to be a groundswell of support. I'm sure he knows that. What's his highest MVP finish ever?
Chris Paul?
Mm-hmm.
Second.
What year was that?
Early in his career.
Okay.
Yeah.
On the Suns not making the playoffs in 10 years thing, did you see the 5.5-minute video the Suns put out today on the history of the Suns in the Valley?
No.
It was a sort of a hype video of three generations of Suns fans. It was a spoken word thing.
Ooh.
And it had like poetry and highlights of all the Suns history leading up to today.
Who's it narrated by?
Three different people. Three different like spoken word poets.
Really?
Of different ages.
I'm into that stuff. That stuff gets me hyped up. And the Suns video department does an unbelievable job at that stuff.
Let's show a little restraint, though. Let's keep trophy guy out of the arena.
Definitely.
Keep the foam finger in storage.
That's been a lesson learned. Mm-hmm. That's another lesson learned. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It's don't want to anger any basketball gods. Need all the help we can get.
Yeah, they've done that enough in the past.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Join Ron Wolfley on the eve of the draft as the Cardinals get ready to make their first round selection. Text the word draft to 620-620 for an invitation to the exclusive Arizona Sports Valley Virtual draft experience featuring Wolf and other football guests. Text draft to 620-620. The Valley Virtual Series is presented by 72 Sold
get your price.
Zachary Venema, come on, call in.
Yeah, you're under 4 minutes on the clock here. There is a phone line ringing at 602-260-9870, so we might have a winner. Maybe we'll announce that on the way back. We got some Vinnie Joe trivia, and we got good news for number nerds in the NFL. We'll
what a dork!
Up. It's Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Murata, song of the day.
Today's song of the day on the five-year commemoration of Prince's death, When Doves Cry. I chose this song because, as I pointed out to Vinny, this song was released without a bass line, which is, I mean, given the genre of music, an 80s dance song, that's pretty, but that's what Prince did. If it was too conventional, he wanted no part of it. Man, what a talent.
Can't believe it's been 5 years. I had this in my 45 collection. I didn't have very many 45s. It was a song that I really had to love to be able to spend the $3 to get the 45. But this was one of them.
Uh-huh.
One of my favorite albums of all time, too. Yep, that is When Doves Cry. Prince, today's song of the day.
Bickley and Murata, your daily dose of Vinnie Joe trivia.
And the rare non-sports related Vinnie Joe trivia question today. In his illustrious career, Prince had 5 songs that reached number 1 on the Billboard Hot 100 charts in the U.S. We just heard one of them, When Doves Cry.
Right.
Can you name between you, Jared and Dan, the other 4?
Little Red Corvette?
No.
Oh, really?
Surprisingly not.
Purple Rain?
No.
You Got the Look?
No.
1999?
No.
Huh. Raspberry Beret?
No.
Jason Beret?
Wow.
Beret Bonds? a hint for one of them.
All right.
One of them is on the same album / soundtrack as When Doves Cry.
Okay, that would be Let's Go Crazy.
Let's Go Crazy is one, 1984. Okay.
Purple Rain, Let's Go Crazy.
There's nothing else on that album. So the other 3 all came after Purple Rain, the Purple Rain album. Kind of surprising list of number one songs,
right,
quite honestly.
Let me hear them.
Jarrett, you got any guesses?
No, I guessed all the...
I see you Googling in there.
No, I'm just...
Oh.
I don't know Prince. I mean, I named all the Prince songs I know, essentially. The one from Batman.
That is one of them. Bat Dance.
Yeah, Bat Dance.
1989.
What?
Went to number one.
That movie was a phenomenon, that's why.
It was. The others were Kiss, 1986.
Of course. Of course.
And the last number one song on Prince's discography, Cream.
Oh, yeah. Shaboogie.
Shaboogie Bop.
Yeah, right.
He had so many great songs.
Oh, he was just...
Do you have a favorite Prince song?
I don't remember the name of it. He did this song live on Saturday Night Live, and I literally thought smoke was coming off his guitar. It was that wicked. Let me find out what the name of that song is. I mean, look, there's just... I love a lot of his stuff.
Let's Go Crazy is up there for me. But
yep.
My favorite is I Can Never Take the Place of Your Man. You know that song? Love that tune.
Love that tune.
Love that
Solid
guy.
Prince Diddy. Love it. What is that, Prince? Minnesota's finest.
Lake Minnetonka.
Let's go out to Minneapolis and Prince.
What is up?
Did we get a winner, Jared? Did he call?
We did not, no.
Man.
No.
Really?
The ribbing we're going to get from Doug Franz will be unmerciful. All right, we'll try it again tomorrow. Another name called out by Burns and Gambo today in the Arizona Sports signing bonus, 335. Come on, you text bonus. Listen, we tell you exactly when to listen. How hard is this?
$500.
We're giving away money.
I know.
And we haven't even announced this yet. When you, claim your signing bonus.
Can you imagine when these listeners check out our podcast and get to this segment and hear their name called?
Whoa, what a... The agony of defeat.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We don't tell people this, but let's get the cat out of the bag. When you don't call for your signing bonus, when we call your name, that money goes directly into the Jarrett Carlin haircut fund. It's not going to be enough to tame that mop still.
No.
But it came down today. The NFL has passed the proposal set forth by the Kansas City Chiefs. They are loosening up the restrictions on uniform numbers for particular positions.
Mm-hmm.
So it's passed. Jerseys with numbers in the single digits can now be worn by defensive backs, linebackers, running backs, fullbacks, and tight ends, H-backs, and wide receivers.
Wow.
Defensive backs and linebackers could wear any number from 1 to 49. Running backs, fullbacks, and tight ends, you get it. So it's they can go back to college numbers. Mm-hmm. Now it is... To point out, Pro Football Talk has an article on this. It's going to cost you some money. If you got a number that you're wearing and you want to switch, you can. But if there's an existing inventory of unsold jerseys with a player's current number on them, the player must purchase the unsold jerseys before the change happens. At wholesale cost, not retail, presumably, Mike Florio writes. If the player declines to do so, they can remain in the number and change the following year at no cost.
Now, run your Buda Baker theory by us.
Well, Buda Baker tweeted it out last week.
Yep.
If they pass this rule, you best believe that I'm changing my number.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Buda Baker's not a guy that wore a single-digit number in college. Wore 32. Couldn't get it when he got to the Cardinals because Tyrann Mathieu still had it. Mathieu leaves. He switches from 36 to 32, but he might be a guy that says, hey, here's the check. I'm switching. Wow. I also read an article today on USA Today. Nate Davis wrote a story. Here's some players that might benefit from a number change. And he had Isaiah Simmons on the list. There's nothing sizzling about a linebacker number 48.
That is true.
So he said, maybe he's not going to get his college number 11 because of Larry Fitzgerald. Nobody will ever wear that number again. He said he's switched to number 8. Like, if you're going to write an article like that, you might want to research to see if the number's retired, which number 8 is for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
In fact, they wore that number on a patch on their uniforms last year.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on, David.
Right. And see, that's the thing players don't think about, because I wouldn't be surprised if somebody said to Buda, hey, Buda, yeah, that's a great idea, but do you know that we've got 18,000 Cardinal fans that wear number 32 that have your replica jersey? And he's like, oh, didn't know that.
Maybe.
You know?
But they might look at it as a way, hey, they already bought those. They'll probably buy the number 7 or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Anthony Edwards, rookie of the Minnesota Timberwolves, made headlines a couple weeks ago when he said he didn't know who A-Rod was.
Right.
A-Rod's going to be the new owner of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he did an article with GQ, and he was asked, so you really don't know who A-Rod is, huh? And he's like, well, I do now. Then the GQ writer also informed him that he and J-Lo broke up. He said they should get back together. He also reinforced the fact that Kevin Durant is his favorite NBA player because Kevin Durant scored 30 points against the Timberwolves on 15 shots. He said, I don't think I've ever seen anybody, when I look at the box score, look at the sheet, and they have 15 shots and get 30 points. Like, I haven't seen that. It's happened 26 times in the NBA this year. So Anthony Edwards is unaware of a lot of stuff.
He really is. Yeah. He really, yeah.
He also claims that if he started playing baseball right now, he could throw 93, and if he practiced, he would throw 100.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's having a nice breakout year.
Yes, he is. Thanks to Tommy Lloyd for joining us. Thanks to you for hanging out as well. We'll do it tomorrow at 10. Burns and Gamble up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.